This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And it is a welcome back for Beam. I know he had a couple weeks off there. Now back, hopefully recharged, rejuvenated. You look like you're recharged and rejuvenated.
Other than the swimmer's itch.
Yeah, great. I see you got like a big rash on your
ankles. Yeah, I got parasites on my
ankles.
Legs.
That's
it's cool. Great.
So parasitic Beam is here.
Yep.
We've got plenty to talk about. We will talk about the U.S. men's national team as the CONMEBOL Copa America continues to roll on. We have, of course, a game for them coming up on Thursday. If you're listening to this, we're recording on Wednesday of this week. We also have the Euros. There's some drama there left to be settled. And, of course, plenty to get to as we start to head into the knockout round.
Your
now.
Guy's out, too.
I know. Okay. I got to wave goodbye to Luka Modric in this tournament, which was a very sad day. And we will, of course, talk about waving goodbye to a Crew legend. And Aiden Morris as the Crew get back on track. Big 4-0 win over Sporting Kansas City. I love the TIFO. I'm a Sporting.
Yeah. It's a good one. It's a really good.
It's a fun one.
I don't know what the character's name is out of The Simpsons, but he's wearing the hat.
It's the
cop's son. Yeah.
Yes,
whatever his
is
name
is. Is it Wiggins? Wiggins?
Yeah. Wiggins.
Officer Wiggins. It's his
son. Ralph?
Yeah. Ralph, maybe. I can't remember.
That's the cop, right?
Yeah, Ralph's. I don't remember what the
Ralph's
kid's
the
name
son?
Is.
I don't remember.
I'm not as big on my Simpsons lore.
Yeah.
So sorry about that.
I'm more of a Lord of the Rings guy, but.
Sure. Understood.
Family Guy.
Just a guy, yeah, really.
A guy. I'm a man's guy.
That's right. So how about this? I kind of buried the lead on this. I don't even know if you know this. I was looking at the episode numbers. Last week's episode was number 249.
Wow.
So this is big number episode 250.
I feel like we just recorded 200 last year. Didn't we do a big 200 blowout?
And that's how weeks work. There's 52 weeks in a year.
Well, we do. I'm going to go back on vacation.
So that means like roughly, I know we've been doing this for over 4 years. Yeah. Sometime probably around Memorial Day next year, we'll crank out episode 300.
Wow.
So we got to figure out what to do with that. I don't know. That's weird. Anyway.
We'll figure that out.
That also means we're like 100 God, that sounds
daunting. We're 100 episodes away from a World Cup.
That's what I was just going to say is like probably within the next couple years,
I don't want to do that again.
You know what, folks? We may not be doing this by the next time World Cup rolls around.
I don't know. It's 48 teams. There's more games.
We're not doing that preview, buddy.
That was
That
was so stupid.
I'm not doing it group by group.
Here was the behind the scenes on that. T-Bone, you and I have been doing this podcast for a while now.
Yes.
5 years, 6 years, however long it's been.
That's right.
And we knew that the World Cup was coming up in 2022. So in 2021, like late 2021, early 2022, we had hatched this idea. We had like gone to our sales staff and we're like, hey, we're going to do like big blowout World Cup thing. We want to get a sponsor. You know, Zaftig did it. They were more than gracious enough to sponsor the podcast, and it was great. We did watch parties down there and all kinds of good things. Within that, you and I went over like our content schedule and like what we were going to do, like a big preview, a U.S. men's national team preview, and then daily podcast. What you don't realize is that you can't really forecast what's going to happen in the year. So like, it all sounds good when we're talking about it and like what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And then then you don't realize the actual like execution of that.
Oh,
I'm not in the studio. You're just getting off of work. I've been off of work for a little bit. Sometimes you have a few beers while watching the U.S. play England.
Go back and look up that
one,
buddy.
Don't do that.
Go look up the episode. If you've not looked that one up, you probably should, because that one is an all-timer. Beam was 18 sheets to the wind on that day.
We had had this idea to do that, and that all sounded good. I want nothing to do with that anymore. at all. Well, if we want to do like two or three episodes a week,
we could catch up. Man, we were trying to do one every day. We did previews of every team. We did like every group, we did a preview, and we did a preview of the U.S. specifically, and then one of like what the overall World Cup, just a big one episode. It was a lot. You know what I'm looking forward to? We will do this. I don't know if we'll get it done this year, but we have to start those like Naming Dudes podcasts,
yeah,
where we just are like my guy Luka Modric, who got bounced from the Euros this week.
Yeah, we'll just name a guy.
Well, we could
just talk about the guy.
And then just talk about him and do that. We need to do some more of those episodes. We will. We'll start actually piecing that together here in the next, I hope so, next month or two.
We've had this idea for like 4 months.
But we're going to do one.
We are.
We got to get a couple on the calendar. I want to see where everybody lands, you know, like maybe we look at some guys who are retired. Maybe we look at some coaches who are currently not working.
Mm-hmm.
We just start piecing it together.
Like Gareth Southgate's going to be in a couple of weeks.
Dude. It's funny. I have a buddy who is my buddy Thomas, who is born in Dublin, Ohio,
okay.
I want to point out, but is a staunch English national team supporter. Dad is from England,
okay.
And Thomas is of English blood, of course, so that is his team. And so he texted me after one of the most recent England games and said, do you want to switch managers? And he actually said, do we need to go kidnap Greg Berhalter and do a Celtic Pride with him? And I said, you know what? No, but why don't we just swap managers and see how that goes? And he goes, God, no, I'm not even sure. Actually, then he's like, you know what? Never mind. Yes, let's do it. Like, it's just, you have two countries right there, obviously very different soccer histories,
mm-hmm,
in the U.S. and England, who are
both. Yeah, but we've never lost to them in a competitive game.
No, that's right. And beat them in the, you know, one that mattered back in 1776,
that's
or
right,
roughly thereabouts.
1770s.
Well, yeah, it ended way after that. That was when we wrote the Declaration. I got it. But anyway, the point here is you have two fan bases in England and the U.S. who are both very dissatisfied with their managers at some level. And then I don't know what it's like in England, but I know in the U.S. with Berhalter, it's like the minute you criticize him, like then a whole bunch of other people jump out to say, how dare you? He's actually the greatest manager we've ever had.
And the minute that you go to like be like, hey, that was a pretty good job by him, it's like, get him out of here.
Yes, you can't have a reasonable take on Greg Berhalter anymore. You have to have all the vitriol one way or the other. You have to be like they could win 10-0 against Brazil, and you have to be like, yeah,
well, Brazil's having a down team.
Brazil,
down,
look, this
down
is, this
look
is the worst
them.
Brazil team you've ever seen.
Ronaldinho's out on him.
He hasn't played in years. He sucks. No, but like, then if they lose 10-0 and you're like, I don't know, that seemed bad, gang, then it's like, why do you, hey, just, you've hated him from day one. It's like, no, I'm actually pointing out flaws that I see here. And I think we are perfectly positioned on this podcast because longtime listeners know this about us. But for those who don't, Greg Berhalter, of course, was the manager for the Columbus Crew, got them to MLS Cup final, had some of the best years with the Crew under the Berhalter system. He had them very successful. They didn't win MLS Cup, I know, but
got there.
Very good.
Phantom.
Very, very good. Yeah.
We don't have to bring it up.
But yeah. So you and I started out when Berhalter got hired, we said, well, that sucks that he's leaving the Crew, but I am rooting for this guy.
Yeah.
I believe in this guy. I have a lot of hope for this. I think it could be very good. I was evangelizing Greg Berhalter to my skeptical non-Crew U.S. men's national team friend fans, like people that I know, like my buddy Josh lives in Pittsburgh. He is a big U.S. national team guy, never watches the Crew. He's not, you know, he was born here, but he moved to Pittsburgh in college and has never looked back. And he's not a Crew fan. And he's like, how's your guy? And I remember texting him and calling him and be like, listen, this is going to work. It's just going to take some time. You got to get used to it, but he can do it. So I was a staunch advocate for him. But now we've seen the Gio Reyna situation. We've seen some of the other stuff that has happened during his time. I've cooled on him quite a bit, to say the least. I don't know where you fall on that, Beamer, if you're like hot, cold, or just
now that they've rehired him, I'm kind of malaise.
Yeah.
I'm kind of to that point. I'm a believer in a national team coach. Like, your runway should be 4 years. Like, you should get a World Cup. If you are hired on the tail end of a World Cup cycle where the World Cup is just finishing up, if you're hired, you see through your team to the World Cup. If you make it that far.
Well, right.
You see them through the World Cup. If you don't win the cup or like blow expectations out of the water, then it's time to get somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't think this should be we did a pretty good job. We made it to the knockout rounds. Like that's great for us. We came up to a tough opponent against the Dutch and the Netherlands. Like, no, you shouldn't have an inherent right to keep that job.
I think most people who watch,
I'm not even saying that for the American job. I'm saying that just
everywhere,
on a national team basis for every country.
Unless your team is like one of the four to eight
teams
left.
Didier Deschamps. Like, look at him.
Yeah.
That guy, if you want to Knock France all you want for the way that they're playing this Euros. That's who they are. They turn it on for 10 minutes and all of a sudden it's 3-0. Like they have a gear that they go to. That's what they've been. I mean,
they've got an extra gear that no one else has.
They've won a World Cup in the last handful of years.
And played in the final of another one.
We're really went to a penalty shootout in the last one.
Right. So I'm saying like that, if you're that level, then you get more than 4 years.
Yeah.
And obviously if you're in it, it has to be relative, right? But if you're like a country that's 60th in the world and you get into the knockout rounds of a World Cup, then the guy who's managing you is probably going to go to a better job. They're probably going to be like, look at what this guy did. We should get him for our national team that underperformed. Mm-hmm. So even there, you're probably in that boat. The U.S. is in a weird spot where they kind of are like the 10th or 15th best team in the world at times.
But they're not close to being the top three.
No.
You know, like they're
I'm saying, and then like in this last World Cup, did they play like the 10th or 15th best team in the world?
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. So you just got what they are. They had no growth. And then the U.S. was like, bring him back. After also like a very disappointing situation there between him and Gio Reyna and that whole debacle. But all that aside.
And he ran out of like, you didn't have to fire him.
Contract was over.
Like it was done.
Just done. Could have just started over.
Yeah.
Got someone else. So now here's where we sit, is that every time this team goes out, you have a referendum on Greg Berhalter, really through no fault of his own. I mean, he just took the job that was offered to him, and
I can't blame him for that.
No. But what I mean is his fault would be how the team performs at times, right? So that takes us to Bolivia, right? They play Bolivia.
Great goal by Pulisic.
Pulisic was awesome to start that game, got us off on the right foot, did everything you want from Christian Pulisic. This is the guy we expect him to be. A goal and an assist was the only real factor, kind of, I don't want to say the only factor, but one of the main factors driving this team.
And I would love to see him take his game to the next level. Like what we.
But that's a start. Yeah. That's where we need that when you're playing the best in the world. Need that when you play the Netherlands again. You know, like
Panama
in a World
coming
Cup.
Up here tomorrow.
Yeah. And that's, I'm saying, like, he's got to elevate. That can't just be a game you have in your opening round against a really gross team, right? Bolivia, God bless.
It's a good result. 2-0, got 3 points.
2-0 is a good result. But what I found interesting was the amount of people who are like, yeah, what do you have to say now, doubters? And it's like.
It's a good game.
They beat a team.
Should have won that game.
And sure, they had three or four other chances they should have finished that they didn't. That's not on Berhalter.
No.
The system worked. Everything was great.
Yep.
The idea, though, that if you beat Bolivia 6-0, would that be enough to silence any of the Berhalter doubters? No, because they're not concerned with you beating Bolivia, because that's never been the concern with Greg Berhalter, is that you're going to beat those teams. It's, do you win by big enough margins? Can you beat them with, like, your B squad, you know, in qualifying? That type. I know you don't qualify against Bolivia,
right.
But
I know what
those
mean.
Level of teams. And then when the A squad comes in.
Next week.
Yeah, like, that's going to be the one, folks. And if they go out and tie Uruguay 1-1 or something, but if the team just looks like they have no chances and they get a fluky goal that deflects in, people are going to have concerns and say, man, I thought, isn't this team supposed to be better than that? Like, can't we do something and show Uruguay? Can we not be the team that's like just happy to be here? I think that's real concern for this team. And I don't think it's a finished product. I don't think it's a fire Berhalter situation.
No,
but what you have,
just brought him back.
But here's what you have. You have people now who are saying, if he's bad after this, maybe we can get a real coach before the World. This is the World, dude.
I know.
This is the World Cup that matters.
Yeah.
This is the.
You're in it now. Like this, after Copa ends, you're now.
That's
in,
all we're concerned
this
about.
This is going to be 2 years of lead in right into this World Cup.
Right. And so everyone's focus on that is clearly what has got this pressure ratcheted up. And I feel like rightfully so. There are a lot of U.S. soccer fans that are saying, do we really think an 8-year cycle of Greg Berhalter is going to result in what we want in this World Cup? We know it's not likely they're going to win the World Cup on home soil, but my God, it would be something to. Can anybody replicate what a bunch of MLSers did against Germany and Portugal with Figo like back in 2002? Can we get something like that again? That's what I think most people are waiting for, is when's that going to happen?
And it might happen here in Copa. I don't know
it
what's going to happen in
you're
a couple
exactly
of weeks.
You're exactly right. You are exactly right.
It's just so, I don't, you're a big vibes guy, right?
Oh, love the vibes.
You're a big vibes guy.
Love the vibes.
The vibes around the U.S. men's national team always used to be like, okay, damn it. Like, who cares what's going on? We know that once you're up against big competition, like, you're going to be the underdog. And that's probably going to be the same case, right? Like, you go up against Argentina or Uruguay or Colombia in that friendly that they just played. That was a disaster.
Well,
go up against Brazil, like in this.
Brazil was much better.
You go up against any one of them, and then it's going to be like, all right, well, let's see what you can do. The vibes around this had always used to kind of be like that. Like, all right, yeah, I'm going to cheer them on no matter what. Now it's like, I feel like it's just, it's factioned.
Oh, we're getting into a point
like
now.
You're fractured. There are factions of the fan base that are like bickering with each other. Like, it's nasty during, like, on social media. It's pretty gross stuff.
I do think there has become this fiction. You're right. There's the faction that is like defending Berhalter at all costs. Then there's the faction that is like ripping Berhalter at all costs. And I do feel like now we're creating straw men. Like, I feel like there is this pretend fan that has been drummed up in the imaginations of maybe some of the Berhalter like hardcore supporters who believe there are U.S. national team fans who are rooting for like Bolivia to smack the U.S. and Panama to like destroy us 3-0 and then Uruguay to come out and just pants us in front of the world because we want because like that faction believes there's a group of people that want to see us lose so badly so that Greg Berhalter has to be fired. And I don't think that's
a false flag situation.
Well, I can speak as someone who is a notorious pessimist on the Columbus Blue Jackets, shall we say, that like
negative bone, you're
right,
negative bone
there. I often, and my co-host Common Man, we both like to levy criticism on the Jackets when warranted. And that gets a lot of like very optimistic Jackets fans frustrated because they go, yeah, but guys, all we need are just X, Y, and Z to happen. And we could be back. This could work. You know, why are you guys always so down on this team? And I think the answer is that it's 25
hard. 25 years of history?
Well, it's hard for people who are in different factions to see it that way, right? Like the people who are maybe not as happy with Greg Berhalter are not rooting. I would think most of them, most rational fans in that space, are not rooting for him to fail, not rooting for the U.S. national team to suck. What they're rooting for is that if this is not going to work, let the results be clear.
Totally.
Like don't, you know.
Don't muddy the water.
Yeah, don't hang on for like a 1-1 tie against Uruguay, but it was like a fluky goal and people can read that any way they want to. Show us what you really are. Play the game, play it out, show us what you really are. And I do understand that. Like, I don't think it's wrong to say, I want the U.S. to beat Uruguay, but if they're not going to win, I don't want there to be any doubt about this. I don't want it to be like, oh man, we were just
there.
Even,
like, let me ask you this question. In that hypothetical in which like the results are the results and what you're saying, they're like, it's a clear result that this team is going to be less of a factor moving forward and that there would be just no chance to win Copa or really compete in Copa against some of the world's best teams. So in that case, when that happens, do you have any faith, and you're speaking for the faction that is Berhalter out?
Sure.
I'm just in this conversation. Do you have any faith that the U.S. Soccer Federation would then cut bait with him? Because I don't. I mean, I feel like no matter what happens, you brought him back. You took the stance on him. It doesn't matter what he does between now and the World Cup. They're not going to move off from him.
I tend to feel like you're probably correct. And I think that's what makes some of this weird for people is because they go, you know, like, for example, imagine if the U.S. go out and play Panama and lose like 2-0 and then play against Uruguay and like win.
Yeah.
In like 2-1, something like that.
Which might happen.
And let's say that gets you to advance. Then
6 points?
6 points would, I would assume, right? Although, you know, you'd have a Panama win in there. The point I'm making is, what the hell do you do with that?
I don't know what I'm saying.
Like, I can understand how people would say, if we're going to lose, then let's just freaking lose and get it over with.
I understand that.
And if this is going to be 2 years of us just kind of piddling around only to get to a World Cup and get bounced in the round of 32 or some embarrassment like that. Because again, now remember, we're going to have a round of 32 just for whatever that's worth. I'm just saying I can understand people's frustration of saying, let's not go through that. Let's actually get the right manager in and whatever it takes for that to happen. That is very different than saying I am rooting for the U.S. to suck. I'm rooting for the U.S. to be bad. You just want to see the results be clear. And I think if the results are clear and you're smacking Panama, and then you go up against Uruguay and play them tough and actually either win the game or maybe you tie them in like a 2-2 shootout, but it's like, man, the offense is humming. Well, that's been the concern. So if we get that going, then I'm okay with the defense having a lapse day here and there. That's gonna happen. But I would just like to see something that tells me we're on the right track. And I don't know that we've seen it.
Well,
so
I don't
far.
Know if you would have got – you wouldn't have get it against Bolivia.
No, that's my biggest point is so many people – touting that one way or the other, it's like if the only way you would have got something clear against Bolivia is if they blew you out.
Yeah.
But any win against Bolivia was not going to help the cause of like, oh, yeah, see Berhalter, it's all fixed. You're going to have to find out as this tournament goes on. But I would just like results to be clear. So like you said, Panama Thursday, and then I think Uruguay might be Monday.
That sounds right.
So, yeah, they're big, big games there. We'll find out how it goes. We're watching the Euros too, of course. So here's where we're at so far. Now, I will just set this all up knowing that some of this will change by the time you actually hear this podcast. Because
you got the last game today of the group stages.
And we're recording the morning on Wednesday, so by the time this gets out Wednesday evening, afternoon, some of these results will be done. But so what we know is the first four groups, Group A, Germany, Switzerland, and they're both through. Hungary is waiting on results from today to determine if they're in or not. They have 3 points and a -3 goal differential. Scotland was eliminated. Spain and Italy won group Spain first, Italy second, group
that was
B.
Crazy. That's what eliminated your guy.
Croatia and Albania get eliminated, and that was Italy coming back to tie the game against Croatia.
In the 97th minute. 90th,
which, again, thanks for all that stoppage time. Really had to make sure the defending champs got through, huh? Had to just, you know, make sure they got every opportunity, didn't we, FIFA? / UEFA, whatever. So here's, on that, just reminder that you had, in that game, Luka Modric miss a penalty. A minute later, score a rebound from not the penalty, just scored a rebound that
open
came
play.
In. And then that was going to stand up and be the goal. Luka Modric at 400 years old, Methuselah out there running around. He was going to be the guy, the hero of this. And then Italy finally got their act together in the final dying seconds of this game.
Banger goal.
And now all the Italian fans are just like, yeah, we're back, baby. Woohoo! And it's like, I don't know, maybe... I know Chiellini was saying on the broadcast, just let us get to our round, the knockouts where we shine. It's like, well, you almost didn't make it there, Giorgio. Just want to remind you that Croatia.
The last World Cup going the knockout round.
Well, that's fair enough. Last World Cup?
Yeah.
For them, they didn't make it.
Exactly.
They weren't there at all. They weren't in any of this. But they did win the Euros last time out. So, oddly enough. Group C, England, they are first, but only one win, as we kind of talked about. Gareth Southgate.
Two goals for them. It's the lowest. It's tied for the lowest total goals in a group in Euro history. 7 total goals in this group throughout the game. 6 games.
The way people feel about Southgate, obviously, is I think more vitriolic with England because the firepower that they have.
Yeah.
Like, I think with America, we're like, Berhalter should be doing more, right? We think maybe they should be. And then over in England, it's like, it's undeniable.
You got Jude and Foden and Saka and Kane.
It's undeniable to them that they are the best team in this tournament, and they are not playing
like
it.
You lost the last Euros on a penalty shootout.
Right. So, therefore, we have to be beyond incensed that this is not going well. And I get that. I think that's a valid criticism.
It's the weight of the badge, Boone.
It's the
weight of the jersey.
That's right. Denmark finishes second in this group.
Do you know how they finished second?
So
they finished second. So all the afternoon games yesterday stunk. They were nil-nil. They were not very good. So they finished, Denmark and Slovenia finished tied on points. They drew all 3 of the matches. They finished tied on goal differential. So they go to yellow cards. Now, where it's interesting is Slovenia had one more yellow card that was assessed to one of their assistant managers. So they got got screwed by the yellow cards rule because everything else was similar. So Denmark is officially into the knockouts.
Slovenia. They're officially in. They qualified.
Is not technically in.
I thought they were. I think they are. The only
Hungary is not.
Yeah,
that's
Hungary is who we're waiting on Hungary.
That's
we'll get to that in a second. So, and by the way, you've already heard this. You may already know the results by the time you hear this. Serbia has been eliminated in that group C. Group D, Austria leads the way.
Ralf Rangnick
wins the group.
The Guggen press.
Dude, Ralf Rangnick, by the way, just keep this little bit of info in your pocket next time someone, and I'm not saying you have to fire him, but when people say, who are we going to get better than Greg Berhalter?
Ralf Rangnick
is making $1.2 million to coach that team, Austria, to win their group. Whereas
against France and the Netherlands.
Greg Berhalter's probably making close to double that. As the U.S. national team.
I think he's
team.
Making like 2.7, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm saying like you could go get someone like Ralf Rangnick is who you could get. That's just I just want to point out, that's a group that featured France and the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And coming out of it as your leader is Austria. So that is a hell of a job by him.
It's a hell of a game between them and the Netherlands yesterday, too.
Dude, that was a banger of a game. Absolutely. Yep. France, meanwhile, just middling around at second. Worried at all for your evergreen pick that you always have for every tournament we have with them in it?
Nope.
Okay, just making sure. I figured not.
Masked Mbappe.
Mbappe's back with the mask. He's good. He's fine.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, he's got all this time to heal up as the tournament rolls on. He'll be good.
Don't you worry about my French team, okay? See you in the finals.
Poland has been eliminated from Group D, so they do not make it through. Group E, this is the one that I wanted to bring up just because even though I know you may know the results by the time we get to the end of this podcast that you hear it, the four teams, Slovakia, Romania, they play each other. Ukraine and Belgium all play each other. All of them have 3 points.
Yeah.
They're all tied on points and goal differential, if I'm not mistaken. I think everything is the same in this.
Ukraine have a -2 goal differential. Slovakia have a nothing goal differential.
Oh, okay.
Belgium, Romania have a +1.
Okay. So there is something to this. I'm trying to remember what I had seen, where there is actually a score line where if both these games tied and they're all like, I don't know, 1-1 score lines or something, like they have to go to some ridiculous level of tiebreaker to figure out who gets what out of all of this. But just know that everybody is all tied on 3 points going into that one. And for Belgium, yikes.
Big yikes.
Dude.
They're bad.
They are bad, man.
They're bad. They're bad.
That's all that golden generation has
gone.
It's the gone generation. Yeah. They're done. It's over.
It's over for them.
Now Portugal has already won Group F.
They look awesome.
Yeah, they're doing the opposite
of Belgium.
By the way, did you see the other day when Alexi Lalas, who is just my favorite pundit of all time, when he brought up that the key player in their game, I want to say, I don't remember if that was,
Turkey?
It might have been, but in the game he was like, "Who's a key player for me? Cristiano Ronaldo." It's like,
thanks.
Wow. They pay you how much money to make this observation that
you
think the oldest player on their roster?
Brandon, who's going to win the Euros? France.
I was going to say, he's not the oldest player on their roster, right? Because Pepe's still on their roster.
Pepe, he's Luka Modric. He's 400 years old.
Imagine if he hadn't stomped a guy, how much more beloved he'd be.
I still love him. He's endearing to me now.
I mean, now, he's gone through it. He had to come back from that many years ago. Turkey plays Czechia.
Yep.
So Turkey advances with a win or a tie.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia and Czechia are the other two teams in this group, as I said. So Turkey controls their own destiny. Win or tie, they're good.
Yep.
Czechia and technically Georgia. If Georgia beats Portugal, they can advance.
Depending on what Turkey does.
Yes. If Georgia would have to win and then have Turkey would have to lose.
Yep.
And even then, I'm not sure. I think then that would become the third team and Hungary would get knocked out. So Hungary as of now is in. The only way that Czechia or Georgia can get it through is if they win. If they finish third in the group with a tie or whatever else, that's not going to get it done.
Three teams are coming out of Group E. That Romania, Belgium, Slovakia,
yes,
Ukraine.
Yes, that's correct. Three teams will come out of that. One team will not.
Yep.
And we'll find out. So, yeah, basically your swing spot there is Hungary, Czechia, Georgia. Only one of those teams will advance. And obviously by the time you've heard this, you may know who that is. But any thoughts from just the overall stuff that we haven't covered yet, but
those 9 a.m. kickoffs were awesome. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
I know. I wish we could add more of those. I keep forgetting how the few teams are in this tournament because I'm like, it feels like a World Cup kind of thing.
Yeah.
It feels like I should be getting up early and watching like game after game after game. And suddenly that's already gone. And we're now at like noon and 3 o'clock kicks.
Well, now it's just the knockouts.
And then after that, it's going to be all 3 o'clock kicks, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
The knockouts will
June 29th, the knockout rounds begin. So that's coming up. What's today?
That's 26, tomorrow.
27. No, tomorrow's the 27th, 20th.
Oh, today's 26th. You're right. I'm sorry. I thought my watch said the 28th.
Germany, Denmark on Saturday, and then Switzerland and Italy are on Saturday as well. That's a nice one.
Those are going to be some tasty matchups from the rest of the way out.
I think the juxtaposition between what the Euros are, because I've been watching a lot of Copa too.
Yeah.
What the Euros are compared to what Copa America is I'm watching more enjoyably Copa America.
Dude, there's a lot of good soccer being played.
It's a knife fight.
Every game.
You like to watch two teams who hate each other and just start yelling and screaming and
oh yeah,
getting each other's grill and some hard fouls. Like, watch Copa.
Well,
watch that.
By the way, Colombia's fans, dude, every match they play, they're just like, where is this match being played in Medellin? Yeah. Like
in Bogota?
How do they do this? How do they get so many? I mean, not how do they get so many people. There are plenty of people who live in America who are from Colombia or have Colombian heritage, I'm sure. But also, that is a fan base that just makes their stadiums rock. Like, I mean, putting every other fan base, I'll say to shame.
Yeah.
In how so far, I mean, again,
including like, ours,
I was just going to say it's.
Did you see that the U.S. soccer was charging $25 for a hot dog and chips in the media press box?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Is it U.S. soccer that makes these? Who's in charge of this?
I mean, it has to be.
Well,
right?
No, but wouldn't it be CONMEBOL? CONMEBOL? This is their tournament, technically. I don't know how any of this works.
I don't either.
I would think this is their tournament. They would pick where it is, so they're in charge of it. But you're right.
If I was in Kansas City yesterday, I would have gone to that Canada.
Oh, 100%, dude.
I forget who they were playing.
They played. Why? I just watched some of it. Why am I blanking on who it was?
Not Chile. They played Argentina last night.
Yeah, it's Peru.
Peru.
It was Peru.
With the beautiful kit. They got the diagonal red stripe.
Yes.
Their
sash.
Yeah.
I like it.
I do too. I would have gone. That stadium looked like there was 10,000 people in there.
Dude, I don't. How does Jerry World, Dallas, you're the home of the people who say they love America, you have 40,000 people in there.
They don't like Greg Berhalter.
I also know part of the problem is they are charging like a ridiculous amount for tickets where if you want to sit upper tank in that, I think it was well over $100 just to get in the door. Go figure you didn't sell out. Like that's just stupid.
I can't wait to go to like a South Korea Ghana game in the World Cup.
No, but you know what, man? If here's my problem. Think about what the ticket prices are now with this thing. And then it's like to go see any game, you're gonna be like, oh, did you want to drive to Soldier Field to watch like, I don't know, like you said, who'd you say?
Ghana and Netherlands or Ghana and South Korea.
They'll be like, good. Face value ticket price.
$314.
Yeah. And then it's of course scalpers will get involved. Let's get the can Congress act on all that before this happens? Can we get the bots and the scalpers dealt with, please? Try to before then. Just for a few soccer fans around the world who would like to enjoy their tournament when it gets here. That's all. All right. Take a break. Come back. We'll talk about a legend leaving the crew. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
It defies description. Now back to Bone and Beam United.
You can always tweet us at Bone Beam United on Twitter. And we got a lot coming up there with all the different soccer action. I was going through this in my head, Beam. I know neighbor Eric won't care about such things, but for those of us who enjoy the NFL, college football, etc., if you like soccer, as I'm sure you do listening to this podcast, you have the remnants of the Euro tournament, which is just now starting to get good.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Copa America going as well.
Which is just kind of underway.
Yeah. Once those two wrap up, maybe a week or two, and then we're opening ceremonies for the Olympics. You
don't
have the Olympics.
Don't move past the Tour de France.
Is Tour de France happening? When's that?
It starts on Saturday. Neighbor Eric, he had a little get-together yesterday for the Euro matches. Neighbor Eric, big Tour de France guy. Me
really?
Too. I love it.
Really?
I love the Tour de France.
Okay. So
first time ever in tour history that they're not finishing in Paris because of the Olympics.
Oh, of course, right. Yeah. Oh, they got that going on.
They're finishing
with the
in Nice, and they're starting in Italy.
Nice. Sorry. I just said it. So stupid.
That was so bad, it went over my head. That was so bad.
No parlez-vous.
But I didn't get it.
Parlez-vous no français?
Parlez-vous nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So.
Lyle.
Our guys. All I know is you got those things going on. The Olympics are coming up after that. And then by the time the Olympics are doing the closing ceremonies, we'll be like, hang on a second. What's that in the air? Do I detect pads popping?
I smell Leagues Cup?
I smell
that. That smell like Leagues
Can
Cup to you?
Can you smell what Don Garber is cooking? It is a pile of poo.
We had Chris.
Described as the Leagues Cup.
We had Chris Doran today on our show, on our morning show. And I was asking him, I'm like, Chris, it's kind of a wonky time right now. Like, you got Copa going on, you got the Euros. Not a lot of, MLS-based players are playing in those tournaments, at least not right now. But I'm like, you do have the Olympics coming up. Patrick Schulte's going to probably go out on duty. And we have the Guatemalan national keeper as our backup to Patrick Schulte. So that'll
That's
be
right.
cool to see how he plays in relief. But I did ask him, I was like, what's, any more sellers, you think? And Chris was... He's like, guys, I don't have any really information for you. He's like, I think this team has some money to spend and they're going to go out and bring in another big player. So, okay. All right.
I hope so. They should have money to spend based on all the expenditures, you know, kind of looking at everything. I know some of the MLS roster rules, stuff like that. They should have room to add a significant piece. So let's find out if they do.
You think they got a buyout for Bez? I don't know how business works.
I don't know either. I wonder. And the fact that you are surely promoting from within, but if you do get some kind of a, you know, obviously you have to pay for Issa Tall. He's getting a promotion. Sure. He's going to be commanding a salary that's commensurate with that. But I don't know. I wonder if there's extra money there. I don't think it's just the Aiden Morris stuff. I think it comes from more than that. And you got to remember, too, a lot of the Aiden Morris stuff, whatever they got for that, some of that has to go right back into, like, building the academy, mm-hmm. continuing to, I don't mean physically building a building. I mean, you have to, like, you know, continue to grow.
Replenish.
What it is that's made this such a good thing. You know, we were talking about this with Brianna McKay last week from the Dispatch, and she made a good point that, you know, the crew over the years, you know, Bez's philosophy seems to be a little bit more of going out and getting players that, you know, we do, that are mostly developed and then having them kind of finish off their development with Crew 2 and then ultimately the national or the big club, number one, you know,
senior squad.
This might be a little bit different under Issa Tall because he may be going more the route of like fully homegrown, trying to identify talent at much younger ages and get them into the system and through. And then maybe not even they end up with the crew. They may get transferred out before they even get up to Crew 2 because maybe they're that good where they just bypass all of it and go
different strategies, right?
Yeah. So that's just something to keep an eye on as the next few years go by. But Aiden Morris kind of fits the strategy for everybody, right?
Yeah.
When you have a guy like that who can he's the right level of talent where he came in, homegrown player, gets to develop with the crew, gets up to the senior squad. One of his first games is an MLS Cup where he bossed Seattle's midfield for 90 minutes in just a masterclass in his third game, I think, third appearance he'd made. You can't hope for something better than what that was. And so with Aiden Morris being kind of the focal point the last week for crew fans, I think it's kind of interesting how, as we're seeing that front office change over, you want more guys like that, clearly, but you have to find the balance. Because if you get guys that are good enough to go right away to Europe after a season, that doesn't necessarily help. But if you get guys that never make it to Europe either, that's not, you do want that to happen as well.
There isn't, but there is also not a lot of Aiden Morris walking around. Like that's the,
exactly
you got to
right.
identify that.
Exactly
and
right.
I had a great time watching the game this past Saturday. By the way, thrashed Sporting. Like that
thrashed
was
them.
Good job.
We needed something like that, didn't
we? Yeah, because the midweek against Miami, like that was weird and bad. And then you kind of get back home. Your first home game in 6 weeks. Like you get back in that building. It's Aiden's now last game before he goes off to Middlesbrough. So, I mean, it was good. The result was great. 4-0, obviously. Cucho getting the hat trick. Good to see him back. Like he was a wizard. That was good to see. But I had a great time just watching Aiden Morris and hearing the crowd react because I thought he was done a nice service. He played 60 minutes, right? I mean, we know that Wilfried Nancy wanted to get him in, get him out. And by the way, too, I mean, he had an assist. Like, he was one of the best players on the field during the game.
Oh,
it's not like he was going to go out for a victory lap and, you know, not put in a hard 60 minutes, in which he did. It was a really cool moment, I thought, on Saturday over at lower.com field.
Yeah.
Because he's one of our own, you know? He's one of our guys.
Yeah. It was very cool to see. It was cool. I know Adam King had posted this from 10TV back during MLS Cup, where if you'll remember, after MLS Cup, right as it ended, I mean, it was a deluge out there. We were walking back in it. But there was a video of him, Aiden Morris, standing after all the stuff had been cleared off the field, all the celebration was over.
Like hours after.
Yeah, he's out there just soaking it in, standing at midfield, just kind of taking it all in as the rain's pouring down. And Adam King got a nice video of Aiden doing that and said, you know, not sure how much longer he'll be with the club, but this is, you know, clearly a moment that means a lot to him. And that video got reposted, you know, as we had this past weekend. And I thought that was a pretty somber moment, certainly bittersweet.
Bittersweet. And that's the perfect way to describe it.
But Aiden Morris, no doubt, is one of the reasons you've won two MLS Cups, right? I mean,
well, him and Darlington are just so good.
And
so staunch. Like, just when you think of staunch midfields, like, you think of those two guys.
Yeah.
They're a yin and a yang. Like, you need one guy to defend. You need one guy to be on the ball. Like, they just, one guy's going to do that. One guy's going to do the other. You need him to do the opposite. Like, it just seemed like for 99% of the time, they were always on the same page.
It's very interesting with that position, too, because you had a guy, not that they play exactly the same. I don't mean that at all. But, like, in your defensive midfield, you had a guy in Will Trapp who was a homegrown Gahanna kid.
Yeah.
Who ended up, you know, playing for the Crew and obviously then, you know, eventually got, you know, sent away. But that's a guy that was there. You replace him with a, not right away, but not long after, you replace him with a guy who's in your system, who is a homegrown talent, who ends up becoming, I think, a better player, certainly. I think in most people's eyes, would that would be the case.
I think Aiden Morris goes down, and I know it's not like a long burn. It's not like 8 to 10 years of playing with the Crew.
Sure.
But I think with what the time and the story behind him and the time that he was here and this evolution and phase of the Crew. And again, I'm not a Crew historian. I've been honest about that. I've just started watching really since 2020.
Yeah.
But he goes down for me as a club legend.
Of course.
I mean,
yeah,
100%.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Will Trapp is too. But then like Aiden replaces him and you get a guy who leads you to not one but two MLS Cups. And a bunch of other success as well during his time, and now gets to go off and enjoy the results and go on and try to make a name for himself in Europe as he has earned the right to. And I'm hopefully at some point he's back. You know, we'd love to have him back. It may not be the end of his time in black and gold.
12 years from now, after you've had a storied,
that would be awesome.
History.
Could you imagine? He's 22, right?
He's not very old. Yeah,
I'm saying that. Bring him back as a 34-year-old who's had a massive European career. Could you? And then it's like, that wouldn't really be that far-fetched to see, like, well, maybe he could come out here for, you know, provide some veteran depth. But now Sean Zawadzki steps in.
Yeah.
That's another guy who's like a homegrown Ohio kid who's going to step. Like, it's just funny how we keep getting, like, and Nagby is an Ohio guy, but he wasn't a homegrown. But, like, I wonder if there's ever going to be a guy in defensive midfield where it's like, yeah, this dude's from just like France or I don't know, South America.
Yeah,
or like
from,
I mean, we had Artur for years playing in that spot too. So I shouldn't have glossed over. Artur was also there for a big portion of that time, but yeah, I mean, it's like
just a Swedish midfielder. Just
sure. Why not? Let's get
bossing
one.
It around.
All I'm saying is like the homegrown pipeline in that sixth spot seems to be pretty well established. And, you know, again, you could argue about who the actual six is on the team, whatever.
I'm going to miss him and Darlington together, man. Like,
yeah, they had such a good partnership. Yeah. And they, if you saw it off the field, it was only in glimpses, right? But you saw it a lot around the MLS Cup celebration. Like, you could see how those two genuinely seemed to really enjoy each other and had a true sense of, you know, being able to work together and all that. So, yeah, I think there's been a little bit of an assumption. I don't think this is a bad thing because of how it's gone. But I think there's a little bit of an assumption from Crew fans, like, well, Sean Zawadzki's a replacement, just step right in, no problems.
That's a like, hard, yeah. I think Sean Zawadzki's a good player. It's just that's a tough role to jump into.
By doing that, in a way, I know that people aren't meaning to, but it's like you're kind of saying, oh, it's easy to replace Aiden Morris. It's not.
Yeah.
And if your answer is no, Sean Zawadzki's just that good, well, we're about to find out. And I don't think that he's a bad player at all. I'm very happy that he's a part of the team. I think he's got a big future here. The idea that it's that easy to just replace a guy like Aiden Morris is not, even if six, I'm saying for Sean Zawadzki, be patient. It may take him 6 months to get to a spot where you're like, okay, the consistency week in, week out at that spot is there. I know there are some people who say, no, he'll already be there. Don't you worry. I hope you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I hope in a month or two we're going, why did we even worry about this? But that's going to be a long
time. Why was Sean
Zawadzki
on the bench? Why wasn't he starting Aiden Morris?
Yeah, Sean Zawadzki's getting calls from Manchester City, and, you know, he's bypassed all that. He's getting calls from, you know, the Saudi Arabia
forget
league.
Which Crew game I was watching. I heard one of the broadcasters say that, like, Patrick Schulte was being monitored by Manchester United. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Don't do that. Like, don't go there.
Well, the fact he's on the radar for all these teams is
oh, he's such a modern day. I mean, such a modern day keeper.
This is exactly what you want, right? A guy who can play out of the back, who understands all that, and obviously can stop shots with the best of them. He's got all the potential and all the tools to go overseas.
I'm excited to watch him in France. I'm excited to watch him with the national team.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're talking about in the Olympics.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a very good call up for him. So great to see. Love that. But Yeah, this summer I don't feel like we're through the twists and turns at all with the transfer window incoming and or possibly outgoing. I'm not going to say that that's closed off either just yet. So we'll keep an eye on it for you. But, yeah, the biggest thing I think we got outside of the Aiden Morris stuff is you got a hat trick Cucho appearance.
Mm-hmm.
That needed to happen.
Yeah.
For him, for everybody, to see Cucho Hernandez back to being Cucho Hernandez in MLS, I don't know how much MLS official matches you're going to see after what, you know, League's Cup comes and all that crap. But like, I'm glad to see him back and I'm glad to hopefully see him get on the right footing as the summer really gets into gear. And then when we get back to MLS play in mid-August, seeing him hopefully continue that. But yeah, it's go time now for the Crew. You got a lot of ground to make up if you want to be
a lot of games in hand.
Yeah. But that one you lost in Miami hurts you. If you're trying to get to the Supporters Shield, that's That's not as likely.
Hey, as the Italians say, just get me to the knockouts.
That's right.
Get me to our phase of the tournament.
That's exactly right. I agree with you on that. All right, buddy. It's been fun. We'll do it next week.
I'll give you the opportunity right now to either stay with your England pick or change it before we get to knockout rounds.
It's coming home. I thought you were gonna go.
I thought you were gonna go to Portugal.
They're sandbagging. They're just waiting.
Are they?
Yeah. They're just slowing. They're just slowing it down. Slow playing it. It's fine.
They only scored 3 goals last Euros in the group stage.
All right. So they're even better than they were last year. Only scoring 2.
Mm-hmm.
They're really sandbagging. They're really just rope-a-dope you here. That's good. No, England's gonna get it done.
Okay.
If not, though, it'll be Austria.
And if not, it's also going to be really awesome to watch.
It's going
to
be fun no matter what.
It's going to be really fun.
Oh, yeah, the drama that comes out of that either way. I'm invested in all of it.
Greg Berhalter appointed England national manager. And Gareth Southgate appointed U.S. men's national team manager.
Oh, my God. And then Ralph Rangnick is just like, I just hope everyone has a good time.
Ralph Rangnick
wins the tournament.
Goes to Brazil.
There you go. Last thing, I did see Neymar.
Yeah.
Did you see when
he was pissed?
They subbed in Endrick.
Yeah.
I didn't see who they took off for him.
They took off Vinny. That's why.
Oh,
that's right.
Took Vinny off.
He's
like,
what are you doing?
He's rightfully so. Yeah, that's fair. All right, that's
forgot Neymar existed.
Is it well?
He's hurt and he plays in the Saudi League.
He's always hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially on his sister's birthday.
As we've seen. All right, Beamer, have a good week. We'll talk to you all next week. Enjoy the soccer.